These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final 19 seconds now. They will not have to shoot again. A long 4 days for the Cavs to try and figure it out. But it wasn't that complicated. They left Boston knowing they needed LeBron James' supporting cast to rise up to get back in the series. They did that and then some. They dominate Game 3, start to finish, and they hand the Celtics easily their worst loss of the year. The final score, Cleveland 116, Boston 86. Cavs are on the board in the series. The Celtics lead 2-1.
Okay, Game 4 tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, 8:30 tip. Grandy and Max with the call. Pre-game starts at 8. Felger and Maz here until 6 o'clock. Take your phones, the final hour here on the program in terms of what you want to see tonight. I want to see Stevens, again, inject himself a little bit in terms of your offensive shot distribution. I keep mentioning this. In the first quarter of this game on Saturday night, Tatum and Brown, probably your two most important offensive players, you know, just from a pure scoring standpoint, took only 3 shots in the first quarter, while Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier had 9. You extended out to the first half, Brown and Tatum combined for only 9 attempts, where Morris, Rozier, and now add Marcus Smart combined for 17. Meanwhile, Al Horford, 0 shots in the first quarter, 0 shots in the second half, only 4 in the entire game. So I think Stevens has to step in there, whether it's running sets or whatever it is, to make sure that the right guys are shooting the ball. You had the wrong guys shooting the ball for too often in that game.
True.
Okay, so, and secondarily, to me, it's the Horford angle. You know, when we went into the series, Murray, we say, who's the most important player for the Celtics, or who are you looking for? To me, it was Horford. Going into the series, Horford was 1-15 in his career postseason against LeBron James teams. 1-15. And he comes out in the first 2 games is really good. But, as he's seen more of Tristan Thompson, his production and his importance has gone down. Tristan Thompson has neutralized Al Horford. Is that just about Tristan Thompson, or is that just about Al Horford? Do we give Tristan Thompson? And is that a trend now in the series that the Celts won't be able to escape? Should Horford be able to win that matchup? But is it about, well, and Maz and I had a conversation about this earlier, actually, to lead off the program. Is this about Thompson, or is this about Horford? Tristan Thompson taking over Al Horford?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Not a trend in the series?
Nope.
It's not?
Nope.
It's not?
No.
No. Everyone was bad. Everyone.
Wait a minute, Maz. Is that a trend in the series?
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Have you come off of that?
No. I haven't come off of that. I'm telling you, I don't think it's a trend yet. I think it's one game. I know you're lumping game 2 in there, that he wasn't as good as he was in game 1.
Well, the production did go down.
Okay, but he didn't have a bad game.
Not necessarily.
What do you have, 15?
Yep.
Okay, so like, you know, and to me, how was he during that run in the second half?
I don't recall specifically. Was he right in the middle of it?
The one where he gave the...
Oh, no, that wasn't the run. That was at the end. Horford in game 2, okay, I'm glad you asked. He really turned it on after that kerfuffle with J.R. Smith or who? When he got pushed by J.R.
Smith. Pushed him, right.
By that point, I think the Celts were up 10. He was not in the middle of the comeback.
Okay.
He came on, his offense came on in game 2 at the very end after that scrap. And then he was great after that scrap. Both ends of the floor was really assertive. But go back and look. It really came after that, after the Celts mounted the comeback.
Yeah, I still think that the ball needs to be in Horford's hands more. And I don't think that Tristan Thompson has, quote-unquote, taken him out. Like, I just think they got run over by a train in Game 3. I wasn't shocked at the outcome of that game. I mean, before it started, I was at a social event, and people were asking me, and I said, they're going to lose tonight. Like, I was not totally shocked by the outcome of that game. Now, if it happens again, then I'll be more worried. Then I'll be more worried about the matchups. I wouldn't change anything in the matchups in the starting lineup in this game. I would leave it where it is, go with the guys that you started the series with, and then if you don't like the way it is at the beginning of the game and you want to get Baines in there and take Morris out or whatever, fine. But start with the team you've been starting with because it worked for you in the early part.
What if Cleveland's letting Marcus Morris shoot?
Then he better make them.
So keep shooting.
But he can make shots. He's not like smart. I mean, he's not a bum shooter like Smart is. So if they're going to
up and down, though, there's really no consistency there.
Okay,
I mean, there's some nights he's finishing near 30, and then there's some that you want to, you know, throw your remote through the television.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. If you think if LeBron covers Jaylen Brown the way he did in Game 3, Brown's not going to score.
Fine, then Tatum should be getting the ball.
Fine, Yeah, and I'm
and they should be working to get Tatum the ball and making sure that he's getting more shots.
Yes, I'm just telling you that the matchup is going to factor in on some level because that's how they play now. So if LeBron's all over Brown, Brown's not going to get the ball, and nor should he. But now the other guys, we can talk about. But LeBron and Brown, Brown's going to get smothered. Smothered.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. William in Worcester on the Red Sox. Go ahead, William.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Very simply on the pitching, Drew Pomerantz, sit down. Steven Wright, grab the ball and go pitch. And the other thing I want to say, this might sound a little crazy to you guys, but I think somehow the Red Sox can work it out. Machado is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I think it'd be a great asset for the Red Sox, but we got to do some moving around, something like, you know, I'm thinking maybe Pedroia and Brock Holt.
Okay, then Baltimore doesn't want Pedroia. Would you be interested if Machado was available on a rental? Would you be interested? I mean, why wouldn't you?
Sure, but I think their needs are elsewhere.
No question, they're elsewhere.
I mean, right now their lineup's pretty good over in terms of run production.
I mean, I know it's stupid, but where would you play him?
You'd have to move Devers out of the equation, and improve your defense on the left side, right? Like you do it as much for defense as offense. For crying out loud, Devers is a butcher.
Well, he'd have to be part of the deal, I would think. You know, if they want some youth there to get Machado, Devers would probably have to be.
Okay, so this is silly. We're not talking about Machado. They're not.
I don't think they're going to be in the market there.
We're not at that stage yet.
It's going to be pitching.
Ernie and Revere on the Patriots holdouts. Go ahead, Ernie.
Yeah, how you doing? Listen, you know, do you ever think that maybe that Brady's 41 and they don't want him to come in during the spring and the summer and throw 100 balls a day because, you know, he's going to be throwing a lot of balls during the season.
Okay, so what about, right, no. I mean, I understood if they didn't want him throwing as much. How about meetings?
What Brady knows everything about the offense.
I know. What about his teammates?
His teammates are going to learn it. He doesn't have to come in and throw the ball around in the middle of April.
I disagreed with you on that. You don't think it would be good, though, for him to be there meeting his teammates, working with his teammates in the film room with
Brady's
the teammates?
Brady's been around a long time. Brady, all Brady got to do is show up.
I'm not asking you about Ernie. I'm not asking about Brady. I know that. What about the guys? What about the players around him? The team, remember that?
The people that are around him, who hasn't he thrown to?
Who hasn't he thrown to?
On a regular basis.
Yes. Well, they have a rookie receiver in. They have a free agent receiver. I've forgotten all the names.
Yeah, but then I'm probably not even going to make the team. I'll be in the practice squad.
How about the running back in the first round, who's definitely going to make the team, and they're definitely going to want to throw to?
Yeah, but he'll adjust. I mean, Brady will adjust.
I know Brady will adjust. How about the rookie running back? And how about, what's the veteran receiver's name, Murray?
Jordan Matthews.
Former Falcon. I make a point of not remembering Falcons' names.
It was Eagle, actually, but
whatever.
Jordan Matthews.
Malcolm Mitchell is a second-year receiver who Brady has had very little work with because the kid's been hurt the whole time, but who was a really good prospect, did have a good rookie year with Brady. I mean, what about those guys? I know Brady knows the offense. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, see, the Brady rump swabs are going to sit there and defend everything he does, and Brady doesn't need to be there. But these are the same people who try to tell you that Brady's all about the team. So if he's all about the team, then why isn't he there? Like, they're mutually exclusive.
No, he was, and now he's not anymore. Now, I'm a little bit more nuanced, so I know that. So, and I can live with that. And if those guys want to work with him, fine. See you in Montana. Maybe he'll book you your flight. Maybe he'll pay for that. And you can work with him then. This isn't really going to matter right now.
So now we're going to have rogue camps?
We already know he's going to do that anyway with Edelman and Gronk.
We're going to have competing camps.
Yeah.
So don't show up with the Patriots camp. Don't show up to their passing camp in the bubble. Show up with me in the place that I've rented and do our own passing
camp.
Come
to the camp where the winner is, where the guy who almost won the Super Bowl, or go to the camp where the guy who blew it because he wouldn't put the one defensive player who needed to be on the field onto the field of Super Bowl 52.
Brady needs to work on his ball security because he fumbled on that last
get out
drive
of here with
trying
that, with
to
that,
win
Jimmy.
The game.
Well, there's other ways around that too, Jimmy, as we know.
I mean, the competing camps.
He fumbled.
You already have competing training staff, so what's the difference? You might as well go whole hog on that one.
Rob in the recliner on the Sox. Yes, Rob?
Yeah, we need to trade for Hopper and Scherzer, too.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but really, I got two baseball points. Hello?
Yes, go.
Oh, okay, sorry. We're playing Tampa coming up. I wasn't listening earlier, but did you talk about them starting the same relief pitcher 2 days in a row?
No, I heard about it, though. Who was it? Anyway, go ahead.
Doesn't matter. They started the same reliever 2 games in a row?
Yeah.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Okay, your second point.
Yeah, I want to talk about J.D. versus Stanton. I heard you last night, and you almost made my argument for me for J.D. Martinez, telling me he always has good at-bats, he's a better hitter. Like, I don't care about the name. Like, I feel like... Who's better for the team? Like, I feel like J.D. Martinez is a great influence on his teammates. He's ridiculous. He's insane when it comes to watching video, almost too much. But I just feel like Stanton, he's going to put up more home runs, but he's not going to be a better hitter.
Okay, so go ahead, Mess.
No, you might be right. You might be right. I'm just telling you, don't make the judgment or the final determination on May 15th or May 20th. Like, to me, that's crazy. And again, Stanton was signed with how many years left in his deal? 10? So if in 2 years J.D. Martinez is out of here and Stanton is hitting 45 home runs a year for the 6 years after that, is it still the right move? Like, you can't make the real determination long term as to which one was better. Now, look, right now, J.D. Martinez has been better. Over the short term, he might be. We'll see how it goes. But don't tell me that somehow Stanton has been some sort of bust. Like, Stanton hasn't been a bust. Stanton's still a good player.
And part of the thing I said last night, part of the analysis, it's not pure baseball, but it is. The Red Sox lack some sort of, they lack interest or sizzle, or it's not been a very likable, buzzworthy team the last couple of years. Admit it. I mean, it's been a big problem with the organization. Like, it's been a, I just feel like there's a little bit of a lag there in the interest in the team, given they've won two straight divisions. And the amount of passion with the team has been down the last couple of years, even though they're winning. And so that was part of the thing with Stanton. You do. You need someone to put asses in the seats and redraw you to the TV and all of that. And has J.D. Martinez made the Red Sox more interesting?
Not quite yet.
I mean, he's
no.
Good. He's really good. He's made them a better team. No question about it.
I mean, last week was a good week. I mean, what, he had 5 home runs last week? And the one yesterday, the second one yesterday, was a freaking bomb. That's just it. And more than the distance of it, to me, it was where he hit it. And just, you don't see many guys hit the ball out to that part of the ballpark. So if that continues, he can affect it.
Well, it's worked for both teams, is all I know. I mean, if I'm New York, I'm not bemoaning Giancarlo Stanton on pace for 40-something home runs. Team's in first place. They've hit as many home runs as you per game, scored as many runs as you, and they're neck and neck with you. And they're crapping, they're bashing the crap out of the baseball. And Giancarlo Stanton's right in the middle of it. So I don't know. If I'm a Yankee fan, I'm not complaining either on that one. Back with more right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the third phase of the New England Patriots off-season workout program. And Tom Brady is not there, and he's not going to be there. And nobody knows exactly when he will show up in Foxborough again. So it becomes an interesting question. Again, you could miss part of this and it not be a big deal. But Tom Brady has been a regular participant in OTAs in the past. When they've gotten to the third phase, which he himself has said is an important phase, he's been there to go through those drills. He's not there today, so I think that that's going to lend more speculation as to what's going on in Foxborough, why he's staying away. Is he unhappy with the Patriots organization and the Patriot way? Would he rather work with his trainer, Alex Guerrero, and continue on with the TB12 methods that he is known to love and admire so much? But no Tom Brady.
Balls are out. Offense is working with the defense. Offense is being installed. Teams meeting in the morning. Practicing in the afternoon. There's rookies. There's first-year receivers. There's guys that Brady has not spent much time with. They're all there getting their work in with Brian Etling. Is that his first name?
Danny. It doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. Harry Schmedlap is working with your football team because Brady, what, is pissed at Bill or wants a new contract or something and is out, sitting out, even though he's here, meaning stateside, I think, in New York, Boston, somewhere. He's here.
He was on Instagram today. So the Patriots, a couple of hours ago, posted a photo of Julian Edelman, good friend of Tom Brady, of course, who is at these OTAs already, and it shows him back. And one of the likes was from Tom Brady.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he's online.
So it was the whole contract thing. So if he doesn't have the contract, he wouldn't come in June then either, right?
He's coming in June because that's a technical holdout. That's a no way around it. You are holding out. That's a mandatory, obligated commitment. And
sure,
if you're not there, you are fined and you are holding out.
But this might as well be mandatory, too, based on his history.
For all intents and purposes, this is mandatory as well.
So like,
so he doesn't show to prove that he means business.
See, I don't think it's about the contract. I don't. I think it's about Bill. I do. I'm sorry. I keep coming back to that.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I think the money has something to do with it. If you're him and you see Matt Ryan now making $30 million AAV, that would piss me off. Matt Ryan.
I mean, if they gave him a new contract now, I think as a condition, they would say, Tom, we're going to give you the deal, but can you please come to the OTA?
Of course.
And he would.
Of course.
But the reality is, it's not. I'm telling you, I think it's about, listen, if you're going to make my life miserable when I'm there, then I'm only going to come when I have to.
Okay. Reaction. Chris in the car. Go, Chris.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, no, I'm just, you know, my thing is I think that him missing this is very, very bad for us. You know, I think that we're going to be fine. I think it's going to get worked out. But, no, he needs to be there making relationships with these rookies and all the players. He needs to be working with everybody, not just Edelman, not just Mitchell, you know, not just these guys that he's bringing up Montana.
It's not a good thing. Can they overcome it and still be good? Of course. Can they be as good and can he be as good as he possibly can be without putting in all the work that he's put in the past? I don't know how you maintain or be as good as you can possibly be and be as good as you've been in the past, unless you put in all the same work you've put in the past. There's got to be some sort of, it's got to show up somewhere. On the margins, at the very least, if not more. Matt in the car, go.
Yeah, just calling about Brady's leadership. He's supposed to be setting a good example. He's been a part of this team for, what, 18, 19 years. He's supposed to be the guy out front leading the team, setting that example for the guys, so the new guys who are looking up to him can learn and produce.
Yeah, well, how do you feel about that part of it, man?
Well, see, to me, that's the part I focus on. Like, so when you say it'll show up in the margins, if Brady has a great year, is anyone going to attribute it to the, you know, or, you know, whenever they lose, is someone going to look back on it and say, well, it's because he missed that OTA?
I might.
You might, but the reality is, will the average fan?
Oh.
No. No. But I look at it and say, how can you feed me all this crap about being a team guy? And then all of a sudden it's time for the team to show up and start to get ready, and you put yourself ahead of the team. So, like, I just think it kills him from I don't want to say a PR standpoint or an image standpoint, but a reality standpoint. Don't feed me the crap about how you're such a great team guy and you'll take pay cuts.
So you believe that people never change then?
No, I do believe that people change, but don't feed me the garbage.
Yeah, so that was then. This is now.
Yeah,
things have changed.
Yeah, I don't like it now. I liked it then.
Yeah, see, Marty, when you say things have changed, immediately I say, right, they can't leverage him anymore. So, like, so then it wasn't.
But he's obviously fed up with the way that things are being handled by the coach. Like, I think that he's legitimately mad there.
Yeah, but so what?
So he wants things to change. He knows what his level of importance is. It's one and the same with Belichick. Do you believe that?
Well, then the operation can't work that way. It can't work that way. That's not how it worked over the years.
And everyone has a boss. Just because you like what your boss doesn't do, what you're not, then you just don't show up to work.
It worked over the years because Brady bought in. And if Brady bought in, everyone buys in. But once, like, I just look at it now and say, he's acting like Dan Marino. Like, that's what he is. And I know that is sacrilege for people here to say about the great Tom Brady. And listen, I think he's great, too. He's the best football player any of us have ever seen. But this is selfish, childish, and downright weaselly if I'm the owner of the Patriots.
Couple of quick Red Sox thoughts. Jim and Beverly. Go, Jim. Jim.
Hey, guys.
Go ahead.
Hey. Sorry. Hey, Matt, I know you're negative on the Sox, but come on. How can you say J.D. Martinez hasn't made a difference to this team and doesn't bring people to the TV?
When he I didn't say that. Mike did.
Well, who, Mike? Then that's crazy. That's crazy. When they signed him, when it looked like they weren't going to sign him, I was like, oh, come on, you got to do something. They signed the guy. He's on pace for 30, 40 home runs. Of course he brings excitement to the team.
For the people already watching, has he moved the needle?
Not yet, no, but last week was pretty good.
Has he, you know, I mean, you tell me. I mean, are the Red Sox hotter this year than they were last year or the year before?
I mean, a little bit.
In terms of the court of public opinion?
No, I think they're the exact same.
No, I think they were a little hotter. I mean, their ratings have been higher, right? I don't know what else you use to measure that. They're winning more games. Their ratings are higher. So it feels like, I mean, I feel like people are talking about this
There's more momentum with the team this year?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I mean, again, is it, you know, 10X? No. But it's increased some. And so, I mean, you know better about the TV ratings.
Yeah, I honestly haven't really looked at them. I think they're good.
I mean, the last time I saw, they were up, what, I don't know, 40% or something
really?
Like that? So I mean, I think there's been some of that. But again, you know, I'm just telling you that over the weekend, last week felt different with this guy.
He's been great. No one's going to argue with you. He's been great. He's been tremendous. No question about it. And if he keeps it all up and he wins you playoff games and he does this into the postseason, then I think you're really talking about something. No question about it. We've got John in Norwood with the baseball thought. Go, John.
Yeah, Maz, with JBJ's swing, can I ask you, what does it mean that he has a hole in his swing?
It means it's a spot or an area that pitchers can go to with a certain pitch or velocity that gets him out consistently.
Okay, I just think this is the first big obstacle and challenge for Tim Hyers. I think with somebody like JBJ, I hope while he's sitting on the bench, they're trying to reset his swing and almost make him like a Tony Gwynn up the middle, other way flap hitter, because right now he has that stupid shift with three guys on the right side. He's trying to drive everything out of the ballpark. He's striking out on three or four pitches, and he should just be that number nine hitter that tries to be the second leadoff that gets on base twice a game.
I'm just going to cut you off. His hole is between the knees and the belt from about here.
Middle end.
It's like the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a joke.
Fastball and he can't hit.
His whole swing is a hole.
He can't hit. Fastball in, he can't hit. The hit he got yesterday, when I say can't hit, can't make contact. You know, the hit he got yesterday was a ball that tailed away, and he pulled it into the right field corner. It was during that, you know, the inning they exploded, and Martinez hit the ball into the seats. But other than that, you know, when you go attack him hard in, he can't get there. I mean, he just can't make contact. I'm done with Bradley. Sit his ass on the bench, move Benintendi to center, and play someone else on left.
Jerry,
done. Solved.
Jerry in Rhode Island, you got 30 seconds, so be quick. You got a thought for game four tonight in Cleveland?
I think the Patriots will, I mean, the Celtics will play better, but because they're in Cleveland, the refereeing, I think Al Horford's a big factor. I think they're backpedaling, they're on their heels on defense, and the shots don't come easy in Cleveland because the Cavaliers are at home, and they're the ones chasing players on defense. That when they were in the Garden or at home, the Celtics were all over these guys, even when they didn't have the ball. They were swarming to the ball. Right now, they're just trying to hold the fort. I wanted to talk about Belichick and Brady. I think it's the biggest staring contest on the planet. I think that Brady, after finding out that they sat one of the defensive players in the game, you know, doing what's best for the team, he's done it all his career. Now he wants his guy. If his guy works in the training room, what happens when the other players want to do it? What happens if the NFL wants to do it?
Well, I mean, let me just tell you this. If it's a staring contest, Jerry, and it probably is, Brady has to lose. He should lose. You can't let the player win a staring contest over the coach. Then you are a stupid franchise. Then you're a mess. And I don't care who that player is. Unless maybe it's basketball and we're talking about Jordan. Like, that's a sport that I guess maybe that can happen. Any other team sport, if you let the players start winning staring contests over coaches, you're done. You're done, especially in football, man. That can't happen where the players start dictating over the coaches. So whether Brady's right or wrong, he has to lose. Or else you're a mess. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
You get no argument from me. Again, I'm, you know, I look at it and say Brady's undermining the whole thing now. That's what he's doing. He's undermining it. The owner got rid of the guy that they used to leverage him. And so now Brady looks at it and says, okay, Bill, what are you going to do?
That first point about running out on defense, so true. God, so when Cleveland's in Boston, they don't need to run out to the three-point line. We'll just get him back in Cleveland. Now they're in Cleveland. They're running out to the three-point line. And the Celtics are like, we'll get him back in game five. It's like, why are we bother watching this stuff? Well, what's the point? If one team's going to try when they're home, the other team's just going to quit, and then they're going to flip the whole thing when you go to the other city. It's like, let's just make this a three-game series, or one. Let's just go right to Sunday for game seven. Like, God, I can't stand that. I've been saying that all day. Can someone prove that they're not just that? They're not just a home court team?
Good luck finding that in the Eastern Conference this year. Good luck.
And now you got Scott Foster on the game tonight. He mentions the ref. You got Scott Foster. Teams trailing in series are 4-0 with Scott Foster tonight. or going into tonight, 4-0. So he's there. He's half of that fixer crew of Foster and Brothers. So he's there. When he shows up, the series usually gets extended. So all this is adding up. Well, I mean, what kind of game are we going to show me something, Celtics? Don't just do another, you know, we're on the road, we'll just cave and pack it in and see you back in Boston kind of game.
No, it is. It's like a shell game now. They got Ocean's 11 running the officiating crew in Cleveland tonight.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Morris steps back away from LeBron and gives him a wide-open three, which he knocks down. The Celtics suddenly are down by 11. So he's able to push it out to Jeff Green. He finds Korver, who steps to his left, and it's a three.
Boy, he gets you with that up at the pump face and gets you on the move. You did the right thing, but he still knocked down that shot.
Hill, pounded by Marcus Smart. Leaves him by 18. Ooh. Find LeBron, diving towards the basket. He reverses it home with two hands.
That was a great pass there from Kevin Love to LeBron James for the dunk.
Kevin Love finds LeBron, lobs it up for him, and he got in behind Rozier and throws it down. LeBron gets a screen from Tristan Thompson. Starts down the right side, stops at 12 feet, throws a bounce pass to Thompson for the two-hand slam as two guys ran to LeBron. Morris and Baines got crossed up defensively. 9 assists now for LeBron.
LeBron is setting the table.
LeBron lobs it up and is thrown down by Nance. LeBron is toying with the Celtics right now.
He's playing with the game.
Yeah, he is. Korver, catch and shoot. Three is good. And the question is, J.R. Smith getting hot, Korver getting hot, Cavs 16 of 29 shooting threes. Is that the kind of thing that carries over, or is it just a one-night deal?
Well, we were great in the regular season on the road. We were one of the better teams in the regular season. I don't have an answer for you in the playoffs, but all that is a moot point for us. We have to play well. We have to focus on us and play well and play with more substance. They took it to us. When you get in the playoffs, you get in these environments. Not only are you playing, you know, in great environments, you're playing really good teams. When we've gone on the road, you know, we've gone on with 2-0 leads in all three series. And, you know, in two of those three times, we didn't play as well as the other team. You know, point blank, they just outplayed us.
Someone show some sack on the road, please. Just let me see that. That's what made that win in Philly so great. It really turned me. So come on now. Let's see it. Let's see you give Cleveland a game tonight. Not just succumb to the home road thing. Michael and Methuen, more on that. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I actually can't believe I'm calling to talk hoops, not my sport. But anyway, I wanted to ask you, Mike, you spoke earlier about how teams seem to shut it down. They're like 10 points behind in the second quarter. And they just say, well, the hell with it. We'll just get them back in our home building.
Yeah.
But you also commented on the refs, like, about how the NBA sort of like this guy Foster who's reffing tonight. Sometimes they want to see to it that, you know, they want the results the way they want the results. Do you think that actually the thought of that actually permeates down to the players?
Yes.
And they think, like, well, geez, I mean, this isn't going in our direction tonight. And, you know, the quote fixes in,
yes,
quote, and then they kind of shut it down. It's sort of just reflective upon what the sport has become. And
yes, I'm going to just stop you. Yes. I think the Celtics show up tonight and see Scott Foster on the court and go, uh-oh, here we go. And then there's an early whistle against them that they think's questionable, and they go, oh, see, get you back in Boston, game five. Next thing you know, you're losing by 22 points. It just happens way too much in that league.
Totally happens.
It's just so, like, it and the league's partly culpable because the league wants to extend some of these series and the referee assignments, you know, sort of play into that. And everyone knows why Scott Foster's at a game or Tony Brothers is at a game. You look at the refs tonight, these are hometown refs. And so the Celtics don't even, you know, I'm sure they show up and they go, oh, brother.
Oh, that definitely could be a factor. You saw when they got affected by it in that last series when all those guys are racking up, you know, foul trouble before the end of the first half. See the shoulders get slumped. You see the attitude change. Like, that could be on the table tonight with this a-hole that's going to be in
but
charge of this
game. I think some of it happened in the last game, if you want to know the truth.
There's no question. Two quick ones on Jaylen Brown were a factor. I would just like to see the players fight through it a little bit more. That's all.
And the Celtics usually do. I mean, it happened at home, too. They had guys get early fouls, and Stevens left him in the game, and they fought through it. But now on the road, you know, it ends up snowballing on him, and it becomes a problem.
I'm talking about league thing.
Sure.
You know, just league thing. Just, you know, show a little more fight. Good God. Don't just... It's just too much giving in, even in the playoffs. It's crazy. And typically, I think you're not that team. I think Cleveland is. I don't think you are. So, you know, show it. Don't just give in tonight to Scott Foster and the Cavs and put up a fight. I mean, you don't necessarily got to win it. Although certainly that would, you know, is what you're looking for. But just show some sack. Tom in Arizona on Tom Brady. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Been a long time, man. Great show again. Before I get to Brady, quick thought on the Red Sox is, number one, no more S's that are whistling and no more shrinkage on the dances. But anyway, to get to Brady, you really think if he doesn't, if he's there for the mandatory, and the preseason, you really think he's not going to hit his receivers? I mean, come on, he's Tom Brady.
He'll hit most of them. He'll hit most of them. Will he hit? Will he hit his receivers 2% less than he did the year before? Maybe. It's going to show up on the margins. Don't tell me you can be the exact same guy and be just as good by putting in less work. Brady doesn't even believe that. No one believes that. Who believes that? That you can get older, put in less work, change the way that you work, and be the exact same guy. It just doesn't work that way. Sorry. And I'm not telling you he's falling off a cliff. That ain't going to happen. But is he going to have a little bit of slippage? I think it's... I mean, I don't know how he goes the other way. I don't know how you put in less work and get better results. I don't know anyone who does that. Dante in Linfield. Go ahead, Dante.
Yeah, this OTA stuff is kind of getting crazy. I mean, I don't know if you guys have talked about it today, but Adrian Claiborne just got hurt in OTA. And if we learn anything from the NFL, any opportunity to get hurt in May is an opportunity that shouldn't happen.
So they should have been shutting. So, Dante, let me just stop you. They should have held Brady out of these camps earlier. They made a mistake by letting him play in these camps earlier, Dante?
You don't think there's any chance?
Did they make a mistake? So you're telling me let's just use your logic, Dante. You said that holding him out of these camps is smart because he could get hurt in these camps. So should they have held him out from earlier camps?
Oh, 100%. I'm surprised it's taken this too long. Honestly, I think it's one of the most overblown, ridiculous things in the world. He's played 20 seasons and two or three full seasons of playoff football on top of it.
Dante, very good. At least that's consistent. The team made a mistake by making Brady play in the spring in the last couple of years. Good. You're on record as saying that the team made a mistake by making Brady play in these camps the last couple of years. Excellent. Okay. You're consistent. How about meetings? How about film sessions and things like that? Is that okay?
I think Tom gets it after 20 years.
I'm not asking about Tom. How about his teammates? How about his teammates?
I think they get it, too.
Okay, so there you go. He doesn't need to be here, so he doesn't need to be here for anything. What a stupid team by making Tom Brady go to these camps the last couple of years if no one needs any of this.
See, I'm telling you, I think there's a big part of the fan base that feels this way. A big part, which blows me away.
Well, so then how come you didn't call me last year and say, why is Brady showing up to these things? Why is the team making him come to these things? I didn't hear one caller, one fan say, wow, this is pretty dumb. The team's making Brady work out with the rest of the team in the spring? That's pretty stupid. Why is he there in the meetings with the rest of the team?
And he was celebrated for it.
He was celebrated for being a team guy, and he was celebrated for putting the team first. Don't you understand? It's now stupid. It's now only dumb teams make their starting quarterback show up in May to go to film room and work it with their teammates in May. Only dumb teams have their quarterbacks work with the team in May. Only the dumb teams. So that's it. The Patriots are once again ahead of the curve.
See, I've reached a point where clearly talking about Brady with Patriots fans is a lot like talking to Belichick. That no matter what happens, you're going to defend him.
I'm enjoying
it. Unless he sits Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
I'm enjoying it. Everyone else is stupid. What? Wait, you mean Aaron Rodgers is with the Packers this week? Idiots. Dummies. Do the Eagles have Carson Wentz and Foles with them this week? That is what a dumb team that is, man. Can you imagine that they have? Can you imagine they have Kirk Cousins running around somewhere risking injury? And the stupidity of having him sit in film room and meetings with his teammates in May? Dummies. Mike in the car. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, guys. Hey, this is my first time calling because I just feel like I really have to explain it to these idiots that are talking. obviously, it's stupid for Brady to be missing this, but if you can't see that it's all just a babyish act because Brady is acting out against the egomaniac decision that Belichick did in the Super Bowl, not putting the team first, that's exactly what Brady's doing here, just trying to prove a point. It's stupid. It's childish. He'll be there eventually. I think it's dumb on his part, but he's just trying to show Belichick how stupid he acted back in February.
Okay, maybe. Why so passive-aggressive? Why doesn't he just come out and say it?
Well, the other thing is,
why doesn't he just do an interview? Why don't you just sit down with the Skankles there? What does he call him? Sketchy. What does he call Jim?
Scratchy.
Scratchy. Why does he just sit down with Scratchy?
Skankles.
I can't remember what he called him. Why don't he just sit down with Scratchy and have Scratchy ask him about the Malcolm Butler decision and then criticize it? Why don't you just take it head on and just tell us how he feels? This is sort of a weird way to go about doing that.
Yeah, because it might actually show that Tom get angry about something. I don't know. I mean, something with the coach or dissatisfaction with the coach. The other thing is, as the caller pointed out, Belichick did. He let his ego get in the way in the Super Bowl, and he was criticized for it. He was killed for it by Patriots fans, in fact. But now Tom does the same thing, and he doesn't get the same level of criticism. Listen, I just think that the whole Brady thing, the whole Brady platform is built on this image, this idea that Tom puts everything before himself, which is a total load of garbage. It is complete and total crap. Complete bull crap. So stop licking it off the floor and swallowing it whole, for crying out loud.
I'm glad I know now how stupid it is for have teams to have their quarterbacks work out and go to meetings with their teammates in May. Only the dumb teams do that.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Couple things, quickly. Yeah. Felger and Mass t-shirt sold out again. This time in like 10 minutes.
They went fast.
I mentioned it in the 3 o'clock hour. Literally, they were gone in 10 minutes.
Enough time for me to have made an off-air show with Mass promoting the thing, and by the time I posted it, they were sold out.
It's true.
So we're going to have to order more, and when we have more in stock, we'll let you know, and you can order your Felger and Mass t-shirt.
I took my shirt off right here and put another one on the video.
Holy moly. I'm sorry, what'd you do?
Nothing. It was a joke. Yeah. They sold fast, real fast.
Wow. Okay.
Gone.
So we have to let you know when the next stock is in. And again, I want to thank Richard Murray, your
yes.
father,
yeah.
for the train whistle.
Is your dad's real name Richard?
Yeah.
Tricky Dick Murray?
Richard Wayne.
Oh, there you go.
I still think you could use this on a real train. I still think the conductor could hang out the window on a slow-moving choo-choo. Give one of those and people would hear it.
What if someone was like 150 yards away?
You put it on a loudspeaker.
Get in it.
On a loudspeaker. That's why they make the steam horn, Mike. It's loud enough for everyone.
Yeah, get an amp.
Yeah.
Can you do the train whistle into the blowhorn into the microphone?
Hold I on. Think the porter can walk down the platform when the train is approaching so everyone
do
can get
hold
out
one
of the
for
way.
You?
So, ostensibly, this is what you're looking for.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. This ought to be good. Go.
And I hit the siren button.
Oh, not bad.
It's not loud enough.
It's not loud enough.
I think it might be. I think you get some, yeah. I mean, it's definitely on the platform. If the guy walks around with this on the platform, people will know train's coming. Here comes the choo-choo. All aboard.
Safe to say your youngest isn't going to end up with that now? You're going to keep that?
I do love, quickly, Vin, if you can put the picture of the Seas train that you've been running, have you seen the picture of the Seas train he's been running when we do the Seas train? All about the Seas train. He throws up the picture of the Seas train. Have you seen this thing?
There it is.
There's a Celtics train in India?
What? Yeah, I was going to say, this is in the middle of like Bangladesh. There's like people hanging off the thing. There's like roosters running through. Like, look at this.
Oh, I'm an idiot. He put the logo on it.
Like, what is she doing there? Like, this is like... He's put the C's train in the middle of...
There's a lot of people on that C's train.
Holy smokes!
International train.
Bangladesh. That is like... That is the C's train. Like, there's women, like, washing their hands on the train tracks and stuff.
I can't believe I actually thought right that there? That was a legitimate Celtics train.
No, that's not like, the Celtics train, Murray.
In Mumbai or wherever.
No, he just found a green train and put slapped the Celtics logo on it. Turns out it's in Mumbai.
Did you see someone? He's also put in someone holding an NBA all sign in the background.
You guys, at least you identified that it was India. I thought it was in North Station.
Oh, it's true. Where did that thing come from? Look at the NBA sign. Yeah.
It's almost as bad as Felger thinking that was a real train.
That was pretty bad.
Did you think that was a special C's train for the MBTA?
I did. I don't know. Maybe they...
So did I.
I did. I told you. I thought that was North Station.
Yeah, what do you think? It was the Framingham line?
Yeah, like Haymarket.
They have their own JetBlue jet. Why not a Celtics train?
Yes. There's like 4,000 people hanging off this thing.
I told you. I thought it was Haymarket.
The people
out there to buy their fish.
It's like the fall
how
of Saigon.
Get it? It's just...
Well, it's like that during the finals.
Maz, you got yours?
Yeah.
All right, let's all. Ready? All aboard!
All aboard the sea train. See, I think
still not loud enough.
I think people would scatter if they heard that. Anyway, I'm sorry. I wasted all
and
your
that
time.
That concludes the final word.
Sorry.
Now, we'll get to a couple of quick things here. First, Maz, gets accused of not listening again.
No, not accused. Convicted.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Can you indulge me 60 seconds for one more thing?
Sure.
Has David Quinn officially been announced as the Rangers coach?
I don't think there's an official announcement yet, no.
Okay, so that was the reporter of the week. And David Quinn, the BU coach, going to become coach of the New York Rangers? The New York Rangers. What? I could see him hiring David Quinn as a recruiting director. This is a 60-second Terry Arc minute. This is Clayton Keller, who could win the Calder as the Rookie of the Year this year out in Arizona. And they've never won a damn thing. They made one Frozen Four final where they're playing for the championship, and their goalie... This was the game where the goalie oddly threw the puck between his legs.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
And that team also had a little bit of a gambling thing, like sort of a weird gambling sort of stain on it or something. There was a gambling story attached to that team, so who the hell knows what was going on there. But I think that was his only Frozen Four appearance. And this is a guy, Matt Greslick, Jacob Forsbacher-Carlson, Jack Eichel, Charlie McAvoy, Clayton Keller, 2016, four first-round picks, McAvoy, Keller, Dante Fabro, and Kiefer Bellows, and then another taken in the second round. And that team lost in the first f***ing round of the NCAA. How do you lose with McAvoy? With McAvoy and Keller on the same team.
Did any of those teams get to the Frozen Four?
Yes, I just said. The one in 15 made it to the finals, and the goalie threw it underneath his legs.
When host on this?
So I'm going to stop talking now if you tuned out that badly. This guy, he can recruit, but you're telling me you can't win a championship without McAvoy, Eichel? You got all those players, and you can't win one? So again, like I said, I'll just stop there.
Did either one of those teams get to the Frozen Four?
This has been... to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
The thing is that what's beautiful is that you even gave me an uh-huh in the middle of the final. Yeah. In the final, the goalie threw the puck between us and you go, oh yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, I faked it. It's like being at a cocktail party. It's like, you know, somebody,
it's like your wife.
Someone pulls you aside. Yeah, Maz, you know, I was at this party and I was hanging out with some friends and like, so then I told my wife, right? That happens to me all the time.
Finally, going into Game 4 tonight of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and Cavs, Maz was asked if there's now any issues that have sprung up for the Celtics, specifically the way Tristan Thompson's handling Al Horford.
Tristan Thompson taking over Al Horford?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Not a trend in the series?
Nope.
It's not?
Nope.
It's not?
No.
No. Everyone was bad. Everyone.
Wait a minute, Maz. Is that a trend in the series?
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure. At least you got a clear answer on that one.
That was very direct, straightforward. I should try that at the cocktail party.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.